Welcome. You are about to take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Bouffet on the Love by Intuition show. For the next hour, allow her to prepare you in becoming a magnet for a profound love-infused relationship by identifying and focusing on solutions through love. Awaken the light within and let your essence shine. And now, here's Deborah Bouffet on Love by Intuition, all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Welcome, everyone. Bonjour, mes amis. And yes, here I am, Deborah Bouffet, founder, owner of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, the Love by Intuition show, and the Kids for Love project and radio show. This is a live Dream Vision 7 radio broadcast here at 1510 AM WMEX Boston, where we stream, as well as this show and many others are heard on our own syndicated station, which is Dream Visions, all one word with an S on the end, the number 7radio.com. While you're there, look at all the glorious hosts we have. And the Love by Intuition show is Monday through Friday there at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can catch the show here at 1510 a.m. every other Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Well, my guest today, I always say tonight, today, whenever you're going to hear the show, she was actually a guest on one of our hosts, Cheryl Glick's Healing from Within, and I was just taken by her, and we were talking during the break. I think we should clone her. But I wanted to have her on because our topic is a deeper perspective on Alzheimer's and other dementias, practical tools with spiritual insights. And without further ado, Megan Canarius, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Yes, it's really great to be here.
Yes, and the reason I wanted you to be on the show is because I've had my own journey caregiving for first my father-in-law, who has transitioned, and now my mother-in-law. So the book, for everyone out there, wherever you're listening, really, if you're a caregiver, if you are a clinician, if you are working in a nursing home, wherever you are, this book is so important. Again, it's a deeper perspective on Alzheimer's and other dementias, practical tools with spiritual insights. So first I want to mention that not only does Megan have an RN, she's a registered nurse, but she's been a licensed nursing home administrator. And because I used to place nursing home administrators and directors of nursing back in the day, she has had 6.5 years of deficiency-free. If you're not aware of what deficiency-free is, look it up online. There's so many pieces to running a nursing home, and to have deficiency-free is a feat unto itself. So I want to congratulate you on that. And now she's consulting for different facilities all around memory care. And that's interesting because now they call them memory care units, which I think is neat. So, Megan, you started off, you grew up in a Quaker family, and it was your dad that actually wanted to have you learn about the world. So he connected you with the Waldorf school system, correct?
It was actually our family physician that was a director, a medical director for a local community.
Camp Hill.
And there was an adult community that had a biodynamic farm, garden. They had sheltered workshops for the adults with weaving and bread baking and dairy, you know, making cheese and candle making. And then there was a school for children. And so children that really couldn't manage in the public school system with their special needs were able to be residents in this school for 9 months a year. And so our family physician was the medical director there. And when I was getting to the end of high school, there was this conversation about it might be beneficial to go for a year before going to college and take part in that. And so I was able to get into the program, and so it was based on Rudolf Steiner and Waldorf approaches to education, but it was the special education part, so it's called the curative course that Steiner gave. And so when you were living there, you would work with a group of children, and you would be part of household, and then you would go to classes yourself about understanding the needs of these children and learning about Waldorf education and special education. So it was a really amazing experience. And when I was there, I just felt like I'm going to finish. I'm not going to go to college yet. I'm just going to finish being there. So I ended up living there a total of 4 years, and then decided, because there was this special massage approach that I had observed, and it was only taught in Germany, that I needed to have a medical background in order to go to that school. So then I went to nursing school in order to go to the school in Germany to become a massage and hydrotherapist.
Wow.
So, yeah, so that was the beginning. But the thing of growing up in a Quaker household that, and also with a sister who had some needs, was this idea that the spirit moves people in different ways and expresses itself in different ways in each person, and a real sense of respect for that, and a love of elders was another piece that I grew up with, and that my parents sat us down. My mother said, we all are whole spirits, and we have come together with a purpose, and we are in this relationship and have roles with one another. Your sister has some challenges, and we have to help her shine because she may be having some handicapping experiences, but she's a whole spirit behind that. And so how do we help that shine through, and what can we do to work with that? And so when I was working with the children in that situation, I was also looking at it from that light, and that led to later in when I got involved with folks with Alzheimer's and memory loss challenges, always feeling very clear and firm that they're a whole spirit and they're having this experience and there's something they're working on or something I'm supposed to be learning from it, and really trying to stay open and awake to what are the things that they're doing that they're trying to heal, what are the ways that I can help facilitate that, even though it may be in an interesting and kind of unusual way, and how do I really look at things that they may be mirroring in me that I need to understand and grow around as well?
That's what is amazing about this book, is that you're asking questions and you actually see from a spiritual perspective that, you know, we're learning from each other, and all the time and the days and the weeks and the years that you've been working with not only the kids that are, you know, that have challenges, but with the elderly, you see that they could be mirroring something that you need to work on, and you see them from a place that they are whole. And that's where the compassion that you have, Megan, is amazing. And why I said if we could clone you and put you in every assisted living nursing home facility, wouldn't that be amazing? So one of the things that you know, you speak of in the book, and is from that perspective, seeing that they are whole, who are we to say that they are experiencing something very special? What if we looked at dementia as a privilege of the journey? Can you speak to that? Because that piece of it just amazes me that you can see that, you can feel that.
Well, so one of the reasons I ended up writing the book, so I've been working with memory loss now. I opened the first Alzheimer's unit in Boulder County in 1989 and ran that for 6.5 years. And so that was the one that you were talking about that had no deficiencies and ran really well. And it was a company that had done a lot of research around how do we do this properly? How do we make sure staff is trained, that the day has a good structure, that people understand the disease process so that they're working with it in a way that you have all the best practice principles at play. You know, there's situations where they don't have the base down, so then it makes it difficult to get to these parts that you're bringing up, because there is stress and there is poignancy and there are real challenges in having this process happening and trying to figure out how to work with it. But there's also a lot of approaches that are sound, that really are helpful. There are ways of creating environments for people with memory loss, or approaches in family caregiving that can really reduce a lot of the stress and help the person navigate some of these really difficult times. And so if people have a good sense and savvy around how to do that, then there's space to really start working on, okay, what else is here? And so an example is that sometimes the way we construct our personality in life, we've worked with, how did we grow up? What were the experiences we had? What molded us as a person? And sometimes people get stuck and they have some unresolved things that they can't address because of the way they've sort of concretized how they are in the world. And one of the things that goes on with dementia is it shakes some of that loose. It breaks down some of that, and it allows other things to be in existence in the self, or to explore in the self, or to expose. And so one of my stories that, there's many stories, but one of the stories that was really an easy one to elucidate this is there was a man who was brutal as a father and was very dictatorial, and he had estranged all of his children, and his wife was pained by all of this and very submissive and had a difficult marriage with him, and she ended up being his caretaker and then passed. So the children had to suddenly step up and help, and only one son would come and do this, and with great hesitation, didn't really want to do it. But as this gentleman progressed in his dementia, he became incredibly loving. He became incredibly effusive. He would glow at people and wink and be warm and be approving. And the son who was visiting this was so shocked. He kept thinking, what shoe is going to drop? What's going to happen? This is so unlike him. And then right. He started relaxing into it, and they started being able to have a rapport. And then he kept trying to convince his siblings, please, please come and visit him. It's really different. It's really incredible. And then he brought his children. And the siblings never came, but his kids came. So there was this experience of three generations being able to spend time together. And it was about 2 years later that the gentleman died. And the man came to me, the son came to me, and he said, that changed the whole way I looked at my life. My life is right. Totally different now because of these last 2 years that I loved him and he absolutely loved me. And it was really because of the dementia that he was able to express that and let go of whatever it was that made his father's life so hard. to live in a loving way. And it was the dementia that allowed the loving aspect of him to shine through. And we hear so many stories about the difficulties and about the behaviors that are really outrageous. And I kept feeling like no one's talking about this. And that was part of the motivation of writing the book, is to say, you know, there are things that go on that are very difficult. It is a hard process, but there's also things within it that shine on aspects of humanity that are really important and that free up people from ways that they were and allow them to explore a different way of being.
Right. That's the beauty of it. Now, do you see from the years that you've experienced so many residents, do they all come to that place where whatever made them anxious or angry or relationships that were in turmoil, that it just kind of floats away and they let go because of what they're going through with their memory?
Right. I think, you know, when you're in earlier stages, you tend to be very aware of what's different and who you were. And for some people, they have insight, and that can be a really stressful time. And then later, when they move into the middle and later parts of the disease, they're living in the moment more, and they're not connecting who was I before and who am I now. And so it's a practice for any caregiver being around someone like that also to really work on entering into the present and being receptive to the present moment and allowing whatever lives in the present. So it's almost a form of meditation for caregivers to help them, you know, learn this because someone is in that space who has dementia. And I would say there are a number of people that kind of tension relaxes, or they, you know, another family said, my mother was so anxious all the time, she was such a worrier, and then when she got to a certain point in this disease, just as you said, she felt so happy, she felt so relaxed, she wasn't having all of this mind stuff going on that would stress her out. We also have people that had stress-related illnesses, and they stopped taking medications for it, because they're not having those illnesses. So they're not having high blood pressure or migraine headaches or asthma attacks that were caused by anxiety. You know,
right. They're really free in a sense because for the average human, we've got that constant chatter going on in our heads and trying to figure things out, living in the past, living in the future, when really living in the present moment is exactly what we need to cultivate and do. And where these, you know, the patients, they're there. They're in that present moment.
Right. And that's where, I mean, if we could look at it as an opportunity in that sense, like I used to feel sometimes there were individuals that it almost was like they were cloistering themselves. They had had this really rich, really amazing life filled with multicolored fabric of different phases and different accomplishments and all these amazing things, and then they were moving into this space that was really quiet, that was really their own inner experience that we can't follow them in on, and that there was something useful to still being attached to the physical, you know, still being in that vessel that had carried them through their whole life, but having a really different kind of experience from a cognitive place that is inarticulable to the outside. And I felt like that must be useful on some level for the soul that's going through that. And when we look at impermanence about, you know, we all know impermanence is in our lives, but when you look at an Alzheimer's situation or you're caring for someone in that situation, it just drives it home so much more. It's so much more in your face in a way because things change, things keep changing, the person keeps changing, the situation keeps changing. You wake up one morning and you think you had it figured out yesterday and suddenly it's a whole different arena. And so I just think, what is that? Why is that we're around something that has such a strong example of impermanence? And how is that a harbinger to our own lives?
Yeah, it's amazing. We're coming up on a break in a few minutes, so just to let you know, but I would like you to share about E with the suitcase. And what I thought was phenomenal is that you would take the time to really have a story for her, so to bring her comfort during this time. So can you touch upon that, please?
Yes, that's a great story. So there was this wonderful, elegant woman who had lived in Champaign, Illinois, and with her two sons who had moved to Colorado, she decided, okay, I should move to Colorado. And she sold her house, and she had lived in a regular independent apartment, and she'd lived in assisted living. And then she really needed a memory care setting, so she moved into the memory care setting. And for her, she couldn't remember the era any longer of making the decision about moving. She couldn't remember that she had moved from her house in Champaign, Illinois, so she kept thinking, I must just be visiting. So she would wake up in the morning, and she would come down to my office, and she would tell me, we need to call my son. He's a physician, and he has my suitcase and my billfold, and I need to go to Champaign today, so we need to let him know that I need it. And if it was a snowy day or a really stormy day, we could look out the window and suggest maybe we should do it another day, and she could accept that. But
now, hold that thought, Megan, because we're going to pick that up as soon as we come back from our break. For everyone out there, I'd like to just mention Megan's web address, and it's Megan, M-E-G-A-N. That's how that is spelt. And her last name is Canarius, and it's C-A-R-N-A-R-I-U-S, MeganCanarius.com. And the book is A Deeper Perspective on Alzheimer's and Other Dementias, Practical Tools with Spiritual Insights. Just want to repeat earlier, if you're a clinician, if you're a caretaker, a caregiver, anyone in the family, if you work at a nursing home, it's a book that's just full of insight and really facts and ideas that will help you understand the nursing home environment and what happens with the elderly. Okay, so we'll be back in a moment. Don't go away.
Experience a different yet profound healing with Reconnective Healing. Includes yet expands beyond any and all known forms of energy healing. The Reconnective Healing Spectrum is comprised of the full healing and evolutionary continuum of energy, light, and information. It allows for healings that are not just physical, not just mental, not just emotional, yet go beyond that to bring healing that includes the evolution of your very being and essence. Deborah Beauvais, trained and certified by world-renowned Dr. Eric Pearl, offers appointment hours at Seekonk Family Chiropractic in Seekonk, Massachusetts. For questions or to set up both distance or local sessions, call Deborah at 508-431-1959. Again, 508-431-1959. Or go to lovebyintuition.com. That's lovebyintuition.com.
Life. We can either be bystanders or creators. Now is the time to awaken to your divine identity and the power of the I Am within to create a joyous and fulfilled life, no matter what your circumstances are. There are answers to life's big questions, and there is a spiritual path that leads to soul liberation and ascension. Join us every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for Prophets for the New Age with Carl and Nancy Showalter on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. What if everything that you've been taught about who you are and what life is has been untrue? Join Deborah Laval, host of Living in Quantum Love, where she'll explore and dissect the limiting beliefs and wrong understandings that have only served to keep us not only separate from one another, but from our own selves. Living in Quantum Love can be heard every third Sunday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Join Deborah and take a leap to freedom.
It's a child's job to play, to learn, and to have fun. It's an adult's job to keep them safe. Did you know that 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be sexually abused before the age of 18? Every day, families enter the Children's Advocacy Center because a child's courage to tell someone what happened to them. Keeping our children safe starts with a conversation. This is Michelle Aranger, Executive Director of the Children's Advocacy Center. Learn more on how to keep your child safe. Visit cacofbc.org. This message made possible by the Fall River Rotary Club.
Join us every first Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
J.T. Lewis is the big brother of Jesse Lewis, who died in Sandy Hook Elementary on December 14, 2012, while saving the lives of 9 of his classmates. J.T. found comfort after Rwandan orphan genocide survivors reached out to him from their country to express their condolences and share their personal stories of tragedy and healing. Inspired by the love that was shown to him, J.T. started Newtown Helps Africa, a nonprofit organization that helps young people in Africa and beyond who've suffered personal tragedy and have shown resilience. He successfully sent one young Rwandan woman to college for 4 years and plans to do much more, all the while inspiring many young people around the world to turn hardship into an opportunity to make the world a better place. Link on to NewtownHelpsRwanda.org.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show every first and third Sunday, 9 to 10 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Every first and third Sunday from 9 to 10 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back, and we're going to get right back to E with the suitcase, but first we have a caller, and it's Rachel, so we want to welcome her in. Hi, Rachel, and you're a local in the Boston area.
Yes. Hi, Deborah. You actually know me, and
yes.
I just want to thank you so much for having this show tonight. I mean, I love all your shows, but this one really is special to me because the things that Megan has been talking about are so right on. We're having this exact experience right now in my family. My mom has been in a nursing home for 2 years with dementia, and she's going to be 93. And she was just like that, very similar to what Megan was talking about with that man, that she was just very difficult as a mother. She really was not able to love us. There are 3 daughters. She was totally emotionally unavailable and actually kind of mean and for most of our lives. And just it was impossible to connect with her. And also very tons of anxiety and very controlling and just really, awful, to be honest. And then since she got dementia, she's had what one of my sisters calls a personality transplant. And she's become, it's actually like, I've been wanting to talk about this, but there's like nobody I can really talk to about this that really understands this until tonight. She's become the most loving, wonderful person that it's like this gift from God that we're all getting now, and it's been so healing for all of us, all of the children. And it's exactly what she's talking about, and I'm like in awe of it. And I didn't know that we thought this was just some fluke. I didn't know this happened with other people too. And some of my relatives think it's so tragic that she's in this situation where she's, you know, in this nursing home and she's dependent on everybody for all of her care. But I swear she's the happiest she's ever been.
Really?
In her spirit, you know, and she's able to love now. She's able to totally receive and give love. It's like I've never seen in our entire life, we've never seen this from her.
Oh, is that incredible? That if someone is slowly making their exit, and to be able to tie up that loose end, that part that wasn't okay, and have the opportunity to have a really, really different experience, and for all of you as the children to be open to that and be able to witness that and experience that too and be bathed in it, it's so important as a finishing sort of touch.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. To me, it's like a miracle. I know
right.
that
and your heart is open, so you're, as Megan said, you're just bathing in it.
Totally. I never thought in a million years that something like this could even happen, that she was even capable of this. And it's just so fascinating that it's unfolded in the way that it has. And, you know, and actually my younger sister, insisted that she be in a nursing home near her, and she sees her every single day. And not only has this worked out so beautifully, but the staff in the nursing home absolutely love her. She's become like the most endearing, adorable, funny, loving person. Even though she's confused, you know, so much of the time, but she's so like delightful to be around now.
Oh, that's really wonderful.
Yeah, and it's just, I've never heard anybody until now talk about this phenomenon. Thank you. So I just wanted to share that because it's so exactly what you were talking about.
Yeah, and that's the thing about the book that has touched me, as obviously Megan could tell. There's so many stories and there's so many things in the book that you didn't really know as you go along with your loved one with dementia until you read the book and you're like, oh, so this does happen. And there's some kind of level of comfort that it brings by knowing, by connecting the dots, per se.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So thank you, Rachel. I
didn't
know that. It's very sweet of you to share, and I'm so happy
that it's really affirming. I think also for other listeners, because I'm always a little. I really always want to make sure that people understand. I understand all the difficult parts of this and their blessings mixed in with it.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's what I think you find as you go along. You may be, the caregiver will be anxious, will be upset, stressed, everything. And then as you go along, you start to see the blessings and the beauty and the privilege of being with that person and seeing them through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So thank you so much for sharing that. We really appreciate it.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Rachel. You take good care. All right. So, well, just touching one soul, it's amazing. So let's get back, Megan, to E with the suitcase, if you may pick up. And this is one of the residents that Megan worked with as she had this fantasy type thing, but yet it was tied to her real life in the time, right?
Right.
Back
so,
in the day.
So one of the best practices in working with people with memory care is in earlier stages, they need reality orientation. So if they say, are we going to the doctor today? They may forget your answer, but they're needing the reassurance of reality. So you say, yes, we're going at 8 o'clock, we're getting ready. They might forget, you answer it again. So you use reality. But as you get further into the disease, reality doesn't necessarily work, and the person can't draw on that memory. So the example would be we might say to her, you sold your house in Champaign and moved to Colorado, and she would be aghast and like, of course I didn't sell my house. I don't know what you're talking about. And it would just lead to an argument. So that's when you start shifting into what's called validation, where you work with the person's emotions and you work with what is the kindest thing that helps this person in this moment with the limited memory that they have and that they're going to long-term memory. So what we found out about her was her husband had died early in her marriage and she had raised her two sons by herself. And she had done very well in terms of getting them educated. One was an engineer, one was a physician. And she learned about finances, and she worked the stocks as a, sort of a hobby. She was really proud of it and managed to make money. So once we figured that out, when she would come every day, every single morning for 3 years, she came to my office and did this, and we had this little skit. So she would come and ask for the billfold and the suitcase, and I would say, why, your son's a doctor. He should be able to have his own billfold and suitcase, and she would laugh. And then I would say, well, don't you think we need to give the renters notice? And she would say, what renters? And I would say, well, you're actually making more money renting your house while you're visiting than you're spending here. And then I had taken a bill for the building, and I knocked off a number, so that in her sensibilities of between 1965 and 85, what would be the price of something, it made perfect sense. It looked good. And then we talked about how much money she was making with the renters. So she would stand there for a minute, and then when she would say, well, I think we should give them 24 hours notice. And we would all sigh with relief, and we would say, yep, let's give them 24-hour notice. And then she would completely enter the day. She was totally fine. So that thing of being the organized, in-control, taking-initiative woman that she had been her whole life was the person she woke up as in the morning. But she really needed all the support and structure of everything that was going on. So by having this way of interacting about why is she here that made sense to her, then she could let go of it and move on and enjoy everything that was going on around her. And so we did that for three years.
Yes, and that's what blows my mind, because Megan, let me just ask you, I know you're in Colorado. Do you feel that there are nurses, CNAs, compassionate enough in other nursing homes that would take this time to create a scenario to comfort one of the residents?
Yes. No, I think people who love working with people with memory loss, who love working with this group, would definitely do that. And there are many, many people that want the tools, that want to be creative, that want to be responsive to an elder who are very interested in trying to employ the right approaches. I think what happens in some settings is that there may not be enough resources of staff or enough resources of training or challenges with how the structure of the day is going, that sometimes creates that kind of stress that makes it difficult to do that. But as I said earlier, if you can get some of those things nailed down, that it's really working, the environment is really working, then you can get to the...
And we need, I'm sorry, we need to take our break, so we'll be right back.
Experience a different yet profound healing with Reconnective Healing. Includes yet expands beyond any and all known forms of energy healing. The Reconnective Healing Spectrum is comprised of the full healing and evolutionary continuum of energy, light, and information. It allows for healings that are not just physical, not just mental, not just emotional, yet go beyond that to bring healing that includes the evolution of your very being and essence. Deborah Beauvais, trained and certified by world-renowned Dr. Eric Pearl, offers appointment hours at Seekonk Family Chiropractic in Seekonk, Massachusetts. For questions or to set up both distance or local sessions, call Deborah at 508-431-1959. Again, 508-431-1959. Or go to lovebyintuition.com. That's lovebyintuition.com.
In In a single moment, your life can change. Join Marianne Pastana, host of Moments with Marianne, for a transformative hour of leaders in their field, ranging from inspirational authors, top industry leaders, business and spiritual entrepreneurs. Tune in to experience Moments with Marianne every second Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Don't miss this. And remember, make every moment count.
The goal of the Jesse Lewis Choose Love Foundation is to cultivate a more peaceful world by creating awareness that we can choose love. By providing tools for our children and communities, we can enable them to develop a healthy level of optimism that leads to resilience. Our mission is to give people the understanding that they can choose love by living a life with gratitude, having the ability to forgive, and to be compassionate. This is a proactive effort towards mental health that'll provide children and adults with the perspective and wisdom they need to be able to navigate through life in a happy, fulfilled, and meaningful way. Our website is jessielewischooselove.org.
Love Never Dies is now on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every second and fourth Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, a.k.a. Dr. Love, is the number one international best-selling author of Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased. If you're grieving the loss of a loved one, tune in to find out how to reconnect and heal any unfinished business using Dr. Turndorf's groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique. This show is for you, the listener, and Dr. Turndorf wants to hear from you. Call 866-338-9663 or 617-237-1234.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show every first and third Sunday, 9 to 10 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Every first and third Sunday from 9 to 10 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
And we are back. And for Megan, if you want to get in touch with her, you can go right on her site. She works as a consultant, and I'm familiar with that, where she goes into a facility and puts in new implements, new programs and things of that sort to help the dementia residents. And she's Megan, why don't you mention what you're going to Seattle so you're doing workshops and things of that sort.
Right, the Alzheimer's Association's Discovery Conference, which is April 7th in Seattle, Washington. I'm doing three presentations for them that day, and then I'm going out to a facility in Portland, Rose Villa, and doing a couple-day workshops for their staff. So I do different things like that, and people can ask me to come and do a lecture or do a workshop, and whether it's for the public, for caregivers, or for professional caregivers, I do both. So those are the things coming up.
Okay. And again, her site is Megan Canarias, and it's Megan, M-E-G-A-N, and Canarias is C-A-R-N-A-R-I-U-S, and her book is A Deeper Perspective on Alzheimer's and Other Dementias, Practical Tools with Spiritual Insights. The hour's going by so quickly, I'll probably have to have you back some other time, but would you share about your journey with your mom? And with reading the book, she had such a depth of wisdom herself, and I can see how you became the most compassionate person you are.
Yeah, she had an amazing journey. And what Deborah's asked me to talk about a little bit was towards the end of her life, she and I had an interesting experience because I had always been very supportive to her, and she had about a 9-year illness of various things that happened. And the last illness was she had to have emergency gallbladder surgery, and she ended up septic. So then she ended up having a heart attack and was in intensive care for a couple weeks and telemetry for a couple weeks, and then she passed. And during
that period of time, you're breaking up a little bit.
I didn't know it, but I was sharing energy with her. So I ended up falling down the stairs and shattering my foot and being in the hospital overnight with her. And then I was brought home, and I would wake up and feel pretty good. And then she would be coping with the fact that she was leaving. And then I would wake up the next day and not feel well, feel dizzy, running occult fevers. We couldn't figure out what was going on. And on those days, she was wanting to really live and deal with whatever this was. And then it started affecting my dream life, so I was feeling what she was thinking. And my older sister flew in and was visiting her in the hospital and would call me back and say, yep, today she's really focused on living. And I would be very weak. And then the next day, she's focused on going, and I would feel stronger. So I realized that I needed to really focus on what I needed to do to heal myself and to let my energy also work for me and let her, with her resources, work on her own things she needed to and unravel this, that I couldn't follow her into death and that I needed to make a commitment to really being here and being present. So the healing statement that we worked from was, I'm connecting to my resources. I am feeling whole in myself. I am receiving assistance in my own healing. My mother is connected to her own resources. She is whole in herself, and she is receiving the healing, loving energy she needs. I am strong in my connection to my own life and all that I still need to do here. And I repeated that over and over, and I kind of went into a state all night where I could feel her, but I was also more present with myself, and I was awake, but not really. And then in the morning, I knew that my energy was back with me, and I knew that she was actively dying. And my sister went to the hospital, and she died 10 hours later.
Mm.
So it was very intense, and it was amazing to me as a caregiver to experience the level of connection and love we have for each other, and that we will spend everything for that other person because we care so much, but we also are here for a reason and a purpose, and we need to be ongoing with our own purpose in that. So how, you know, as a caregiver, how do you find the way to be with that? And I just think a lot of people struggle with it, and it was such a visceral, real experience of that energy flow going between she and I. It taught me a great deal about that.
Right, and that's why self-care is so important, too. But you know, when you're balancing the balls of your own, you know, your own work, and you've got everything going with them, including the house and their bills and all kinds of different things, the doctors, you know, the different things and errors that are made along the way, it can be so overwhelming, and you take it on. And then you love that person dearly, and you want them to, you know, give them as much as you can so that they can experience some kind of level of compassion and love in their late years. So it's a hard one. It really is. But I have to say, you know, on the show for anyone listening, that I call it a prayer, could be a mantra, whatever you want to call it, but it really helped me realize that I had my own life, and her stress of her home, her all the different things that are going on, it's not my stuff. I'm facilitating for her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. is what I came up with anyway. So I thank you for sharing that. That's amazing. Like that. So, you know, we're coming down to the end of the show, and I wanted to just ask you where you're working in the consulting capacity. You're seeing different facilities and different memory units, and there's work to be done. But I can imagine that humanized care is so much more advanced now than it was, say, 20 years ago. Can you speak to that, please, Megan?
Right, yes. Person-centered care is the way we want to go, and we want the care that people are receiving to really be led by the person, their likes and dislikes, aspects of their personality that we can really try to shine a light on, even if the person themselves can't remember all the time, but have them experience things that would be things that they would want to do. So if someone was a baker or someone loved children or someone loved music or someone loved nature, to really find opportunities in the care situations to touch those things, to experience those things. And I think there's a lot more focus on the person and how we bring that forward. I also do family and private consultations too, and I think the theme for most of them is trying to make the right decisions at the right time of what's needed now. Like, what do we need to be doing differently than what we were doing, and how do we go forward from here, and how do we manage the change? And so I think, you know, families are a lot more educated. There are more resources. Alzheimer's is spoken about more than it used to be. And, like, the Alzheimer's associations are all over the country to lend support to families, and they have education and training and helplines. Even when someone's really struggling with something, they can call a helpline. So I think we have more resources, and we have more – it's a person with an illness. It's the person with the illness. You know, there's more emphasis on holding on to that and not just it blurring about the Alzheimer's disease is the thing that we're looking at. It's each individual's unique, and it comes in a different way for each person, the challenges, and so how can we also respond in a human way? Yeah.
Right. And I think the understanding is so key, too, especially in the first few years or so, because I think a lot of family members could take it personally, and when they're angry and they take it out of their loved ones. But if you realize that the person does have dementia and this is all part of it, and that's why education is so key, is educating the family members on what to expect so that they're prepared in the sense of what could happen.
Right.
Do you take time when you're doing your personal consulting? You must go over a lot of that information, correct?
Yes. Yeah. And
okay.
The person with the memory loss is trying as hard as they can always. They aren't intentionally doing any of these things. And when the disease is really showing itself, it is true that caregivers have to find that place that's objective to be able to say, that's the disease, that's not the person, but how do I keep responding to the person? So there's this dance that we do that we can master, you know, we can get better at it.
Right.
So.
We can. And, I mean, there's always something new to learn, and it's usually about yourself.
during the journey. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on. And we should mention there are 48 different kinds of dementia. We haven't even got into that. That's why it's so important for everyone to purchase the book. You're just a volume of information for sure. What would you, in this last minute or so, what would you like to see in the future care for dementia patients and Alzheimer's, because it's all part of the same?
I think there's a push everywhere to try to help people stay integrated And so dementia-friendly cities, dementia-friendly restaurants, dementia-friendly pool halls, you know, that people,
wow,
just as we are trying to help everyone accept diversity, to accept that someone's confused but can still be part of something, can still participate in something. What's the piece of it that they're able to do, and how can we help them enjoy that so that it isn't so isolating for the person with memory loss as well as their caregivers, because caregivers end up being very isolated with their loved ones. And so to create more of a sense of openness and acceptance and understanding. So if someone stands up in the middle of the movie or walks out of church in the middle of the service because they're confused about where they are, that there's kind of an acceptance in the room of, that's just
right,
what they need to do
right
now.
It's okay.
They'll be
it's
back.
Okay. Well, again, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I've loved this time with you. And for everyone out there, get the book. And until we meet again, au revoir.
Are you seeking a clearer path to love? Then tune in to the Love by Intuition show next week, all designed to your highest good. To contact Deborah Bouffet, owner of Empowered Connections, call her at 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723.